The scripture reading this morning is from Romans 15, verses 30 to 33. Please turn in your Bible or look in the insert in your worship folder. Please stand for the reading of God's word. Romans chapter 15, verses 30 to 33. I appeal to you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God on my behalf, that I may be delivered from the unbelievers in Judea, and that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints, so that by God's will I may come to you with joy and be refreshed in your company. May the God of peace be with you all. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated.
Let's spend a moment in prayer together. Jesus, we reflect upon all the words that we have just sung, and it is our joy to speak of your beautiful name, to speak of all that you have done, to sing of your work that paid it all for us, and to praise you, the name above all names. For we believe that you are the image of the invisible God. We believe that you, in you all the fullness of the deity dwells in bodily form, that in you there is forgiveness of sins through the redemption of your blood, that in you one day you are returning to judge the living and the dead, to set up your eternal kingdom. And so we say, your name is beautiful. You are the rescuer. You are the one who has done this at the great cost to yourself. We praise you this morning. And because you have done all this, it is our great joy then to live for you. Thank you for this ability to be, or the opportunities we have for generosity through our money, just a small way to give, Lord, out of all that you have given to us. And we pray for this survival program that we'll be giving to throughout December. Father, what an amazing opportunity. Our hearts are grieved as we hear about the mortality rate amongst infants in other parts of the world. And we want to make a difference there. So, Father, enable us to give. Enable us to give generously from hearts that are overflowing with joy to make a difference for you in this world. We pray that these funds would go to make a real, tangible difference in reducing and even eliminating the infant mortality rate. We ask that you would do this. Father, we think of Rebecca as well, who is with us this morning in her ministry. Father, continue to bless her. We pray that she would grow in what it means to serve these people, to be wise, to be filled with understanding, that you would open up doors for her. Doors that she has not even imagined that she would be able to walk through, and that you would make her fruitful. We pray you would keep her encouraged in the work that she is doing. Father, we think of the many men that are at the men's retreat this weekend, and pray also that as they hear your word proclaimed, as they gather together up at Camp Kwanos, that their hearts would be encouraged, that they would continue to persevere, to continue to live as men that you have called them to be. We think of our city as well, Father, and so many needs. We pray that your gospel would go out in power. We pray that people all around this city would encounter you, Jesus, the living hope, you, the rescuer, you, the one who brings the good news to us, for you are the good news. Lord, we think of even all the other churches in our city. We pray wherever the gospel is preached this morning, that it would go out in power and that it would bear fruit. So be with our brothers and sisters who are worshiping all around this city this morning. Father, cause your name to be hallowed. Cause your kingdom to come and your will to be done on the earth as they are already done in heaven. Do that now even as we open up your word. I pray for Steve that you would speak through him, that your word would come alive to us, that we would leave here and just know a little bit more of what it means to follow you, that we would encounter you now through the preaching of your word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, good morning, everybody. If you're new, we want to welcome you to Central, and we are just finishing off a series, Learning to Pray. And in this series, it's our aim that we would learn to pray and mature and become more like Christ. But it's also our aim to experience God in new ways. And so today I want to answer two questions. The first question is, are you spiritually awake? And the next question is, are you fighting with the power of prayer in a way that you are finding victory? When I was 12 years old, my bedroom backed onto our backyard. And I was laying there asleep around 3 a.m. and suddenly something awoke me. You know, it wasn't this loud, crazy sound, but when I opened my eyes in the darkness, I saw this hand pulling off the screen of our window. So in that moment, I was paralyzed with fear. I didn't know what to do. And as a 12-year-old, there isn't many options. The first thing I did is I jumped up, I flicked on the lights, and I screamed for help at the top of my lungs. And in that moment, the intruder ran away. My dad again ran down the stairs, he grabbed the phone, he called 911, and the authorities soon came after. And I remember them walking around the house, making sure everything was safe, everything was fine, and giving us some instructions to what to do if the threat returned. Now, as a 12-year-old, you know, I wondered what would have happened if I just laid there asleep. You know, the intruder would have come in, and who knows? Maybe he had a weapon. Maybe it wouldn't have turned out so good. But on the other hand, you know, the eldest of four boys, you know, it kind of felt like, you know, I was tough enough. I could probably take this person on. Probably not. Are we spiritually awake? Either way, if I wouldn't have woken up and called for help, I would have been in trouble. Just like in the story, we need to wake up and call for help and fight with prayer. Our struggle may be with others. We may need to fight against unforgiveness. We may need to fight against lies, envy, gossip, or against fear. Or our struggle may be within ourselves, where we need to fight against pride or against false identity or against negative self-talk, shame, or those vices that keep us asleep so that we don't fight with prayer. So this morning, I want you to really soak in, how do I find victory in my prayer life? How do I wake up and fight spiritually when struggle comes? So the first point is, we need to fight with prayer in our struggle. We need to fight with prayer in our struggle. Look with me at Romans 15:30. Romans 15:30. And Paul is saying this, I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers. I want to focus on the words, I appeal to you. Other translations say, I urge you. Paul begins with this strong, emotive expression saying, please, I beg you to join me in prayer because I'm going to face struggles. I want you to pray for me with urgency, with persistence, because I see what is coming. Paul is asking because he realizes that he's in a spiritual battle. He's looking at the situation with spiritual eyes. And he's trying to move the gospel forward so that other people can have victory. And he recognizes there's going to be opposition when you do that. That there's going to be outward opposition. There's also going to be inward opposition. That Satan doesn't want the gospel to move forward. And he's been out preaching, telling others about Christ. God's at work, and he's continually doing this. And he sees the next move, and he sees opposition coming. But then he says, if you keep reading, I urge you, I appeal to you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit. In other words, he's adding a little weight to it. It's kind of like if you really have experienced that love of Christ, then you will pray. If you really have the Spirit in you, then you will pray. You will then join me in the battle. You won't be on the sidelines. You'll be in the game. You see, Paul is risking his life to advance the gospel. And he's asking others to join in this risk because the battle is coming. Paul is seeing the situation through spiritual eyes. He's seeing this greater struggle that is coming to him. Then if you keep reading, he says, strive together with me in prayer. So he not just says, he appeals. He asks others to join in prayer if you were a fellow Christian. But then he says, strive together. The word strive means to agonize, to fight. It's the same word used when to describe the Lord Jesus when he was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane before he was to die on the cross. In other words, Jesus was also fighting in prayer because he knew struggle was coming. Just like Jesus, Paul knows that when you present the gospel, it's going to be difficult. You may even have to give your life. That you're entering into this battleground in which we are to fight together. We are to strive together in prayer so that we can have victory. Now, when I was a camp counselor, one of the things that the boys always wanted to do was wrestle. And so they would throw all the mattresses on the floor, and in some of the smaller rooms, we would even put mattresses against the walls, against the beds, and then guys would hold the mattresses in, and then they'd put two guys in the middle. We called it the mattress cage match. But when these guys started to wrestle, you could see that there was this striving, there's this agony, because one must win, right? Every move with a good wrestler was taken into account. And if one guy slacked off, the other guy would get him into submission. So what is your fight? What are you striving towards? Because sin wants to get you. Are you vigilant? Are you engaged in the fight? Because even Jesus himself viewed life as a battle, as a fight. But to be honest, many of us are wounded. Many of us are vulnerable. Think of it this way. How easy is it to put to death a wounded animal? How easy is it for its prey to destroy something that is not paying attention, that is hurting, that has been brought down into submission? This is why we need to fight with the power of prayer. That we need to see every move of the enemy. We need to pay attention. We need to wake up and join other Christians in prayer. It's through prayer that you start to see the enemy attacking you. You can start to see how he's made his way in. You can see every move when you start to see it through spiritual eyes. You start to see the battle that we're engaged in. So we are called to fight together against sin. This is why we need to pray through Scripture. That we need to fight against unforgiveness. We need to fight against those lies. We need to fight against envy, against gossip, against fear. We need to fight against those inner battles in which the enemy is trying to get a stronghold on us as we try to move the gospel forward. The enemy really doesn't use always these flashy tactics. Sometimes the enemy uses these small vices that creep in and to just keep us asleep so that we can't engage in the fight. And soon, we're wounded. Soon, we've been beaten up. And soon, we no longer want to engage at all. This is why we need to pray. This is why we need to engage in the struggle together so that we can fight with the power of prayer. We need to fight against unbelief. We need to fight against distractions. And most importantly, we need to fight against Satan. In other words, there's so many opponents that we need to wake up and pay attention to. But this is how we fight with prayer in our difficulty. We need to wake up and call for help. We need to do this urgently and persistently. We need to strive together in prayer. Secondly, we need to fight with prayer for others. We need to fight with prayer for others. Look with me at the end of Romans 15:30. So he says, to strive together with me in your prayers to God. Then he says, on my behalf. I want to focus on the words, on my behalf. In other words, Paul is asking Christians to intercede in prayer on his behalf. The definition of intercede is to get involved, to act, to speak on behalf of another person, to act as a mediator. When we intercede for someone, we go beyond praying for just their needs. Intercession is praying with the real hope and the real intent that God would step in and intervene according to his will. It's this act of love when we pray for someone else. It's this act of trusting God. And at best, intercession is stirring up God's heart and passion in us for others. I like how Austin Phelps put it. We are never more like Christ than in the prayers of intercession. We are never more like Christ than in the prayers of intercession. Isn't that good? A couple years ago, I heard my wife screaming around midnight. And it was that, like you knew she was okay, but something's definitely wrong. Steven! And so I jumped out of bed with my pajamas on and looked down and I saw that our cat had brought this massive mouse into the house. And so I looked down, the mouse wasn't moving, but the cat was tracking it and he was so happy. Look what I brought for you. So as I inspected, I could tell that that mouse was alive but playing dead. And so, Megan, okay, I'll go grab some gloves. I'll go get the broom. And you just keep an eye on the mouse. Make sure it doesn't go downstairs or just run around and hide. Okay. So I go into the garage. When I'm in the garage, I hear even more screaming. I come out, and I guess the mouse had ran under a shelf. Now Megan is standing on the kitchen table screaming and in terror. Well, put on the gloves, move the table, and then there goes the mouse. And so here I am in my pajamas chasing a mouse with a broom, whacking the thing, trying to get it and missing every time. At this point, the cat thinks I'm attacking him. The cat is now freaking out, and we have this frenzy where I'm running in circles around the house. Megan is screaming on the table, and I'm trying to catch this mouse. Well, finally, I grab the mouse with a glove. It starts biting me. I take it outside. We'll leave it at that. But in a roundabout way, I was asked to catch the mouse on Megan's behalf. Just like in the story, Paul is asking us to pray on his behalf as he sees opposition coming. Now, if you're leading a Jesus-centered ministry or life, you are a prime target for attack. And this is why Paul is asking for prayer. And the truth is, the opposition can come in any direction and many forms. But this is why we need to pray for missionaries, for church planters, for pastors, for other spiritual leaders. And to be quite honest, sometimes we put pastors on a pedestal and we don't think that they're facing difficulty. We don't think that they're facing temptation. We almost think that they're not human at times. And they're being attacked. And this is why, church, we need to pray on behalf of our pastors, on behalf of our missionaries, on behalf of our ministry leaders. It's because Satan wants to take us down. For example, leaders can often be careless in relationships. They can be careless when meeting even with the opposite sex, and you don't know what could happen. I've heard story after story of a relationship developing in the background where Satan has somehow come in and a stronghold has happened and they fall. Just 2 weeks ago, one of my favorite comedians, John Crisp, his bio reads this: with more than 1 billion video views, more than 4 million online followers, with sold-out tours coast to coast, the new headline reads, John Crisp cancels all tours in 2019 after reports of sexting, sexual misconduct, and manipulation. He fell. I've heard of many famous pastors who have reported that actual women have been assigned to try to take down pastors in the States. It was their job to seduce them, to knock them out. Ravi Zacharias even reported that a woman tried to bait him and take him out. This is why he never travels alone. This is why Ravi has someone check out his entire hotel room before he even enters. The truth is, though, we are all facing opposition and we need to pray. We need to pray on behalf of others. We need to get on our knees and enter into the battle because we need victory. So lastly, in order to see victory in our life, we need to be spiritually awake, and we need to use the means that has been given to us for deliverance. We need to use the means that has been given to us for deliverance. Look with me at Romans 15:31. And Paul is saying, that I may be delivered from the unbelievers in Judea, and that by my service for Jerusalem, it may be acceptable to the saints. Again, Paul gives this very strong and passionate plea for deliverance. Why? Well, he's collected a bunch of money for churches, and he's trying to transport it. He's collected it from the Macedonia church, from the church of Achaia, and he has this gift to build up and advance the gospel. But he recognizes when he gets to Jerusalem, there's going to be a group that is going to oppose him. There's a group that thinks that he is dangerous, and it's really made up of unconverted Jews in Jerusalem who thought Paul was really not following God. Just like Jesus, Paul was misunderstood and his life is at stake. So what does Paul do? He accesses the means so that he can assess the situation. He sees that struggles are coming. He sees these outward people are wanting to kill him and oppose him. And in Acts, it says that the Holy Spirit continually warned him of the dangers that lay ahead, that the Holy Spirit gave him the means so that he could see, so that he could discern what to do. In other words, Paul was able to see the spiritual landscape through spiritual eyes. And then as he's telling others, he's using the power of prayer. He's using the means that has been given to him to fight. So prayer does not only just change us, prayer also helps us see spiritual things. I want to emphasize that. Prayer doesn't just change us, it helps us see spiritual things. Prayer helps us see the big picture of what God wants us to do. Prayer helps us connect to the power source so that we can do what God wants. You know, actually, as I was writing this sermon, my laptop died. And so I was sitting on the couch at the time, and I could see the power outlet just across the room. So I just closed the laptop. I was like, oh, really? Now I have to go find the bag, find the power cord, get up, kind of plug it in, and I was kind of tired. And honestly, I didn't do it. Just sat there for a while. Thought, well, maybe battery will come back somehow. Nope. But aren't we like that with God? We kind of just sit there and expect God to work. We expect that we, you know, somehow he will plug us in. Somehow we will just get the means in which we need to fight spiritually. But yet we're drained. We're empty. And we don't want to pray. Yeah, I don't know if it'll really make a difference. I don't know if I want to open up the word. And then we stay that way. And we wonder why we're losing the battle. It's because we're not using the means that has been given to us to fight. So how do we get the means? If you go back to chapter 13, he says, 13 verse 14, let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in sin, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and not make provisions for the flesh. In other words, we need to plug in. That we need to find victory by putting on the armor of light. That we need to put on Christ. What does it mean? It's a metaphor for taking off the deeds of darkness and putting on the armor of light. Ephesians says we need to put on the full armor of God. It also means that we need to live by the Spirit. That means when struggle comes, we're putting on Christ. We're using the means so that we can fight. To be honest, there's been times where my kids will come downstairs and they're wearing some really dirty clothes. Sometimes there's, you know, holes and they just stink. And you're like, okay, go put on the new clothes that mom has laid out for you. Ah, no, these are awesome. I like this. This one has Mickey, whatever it is. No, go put on the new clothes. Dad, I don't want to. Right? But aren't we just like that? Where we don't want to put on the new clothes that have been given to us. We don't want to put on Christ, that we want to continue living in the same way as the past, even though it stinks. Well, the good news is that the armor of God has been fully laid out for us. That the victory has fully been provided. But until you grab hold of it and put it on and put on Christ, you can't live in victory. Timothy Keller says this: prayer is the way that all the things we believe in and that Christ has won for us actually become our strength. Prayer is the way that truth is worked into your heart to create new instincts, reflexes, and dispositions. New instincts, reflexes, and dispositions. So what keeps us from accessing the means in which God has given us? You know, maybe it's our pride. That we think we can do it on our own strength. Maybe it's those endless distractions. I was thinking about all the distractions in my life. It's like we've replaced our Bible with remotes, right? Like sitting beside my bedside table, there's remotes sometimes. Or our Bibles are all on our phones, and it's clouded, or it's confined with all the other apps. Whatever. Maybe it even hasn't been used in months. Endless distractions. Or maybe we fooled ourselves into thinking we can actually do it on our own strength. Or maybe we're wounded. Or maybe we're spiritually asleep and you can't see what God is trying to show you. Or maybe we think that the battle between angels and demons is going on above us and it's not happening in our own hearts. And so we're vulnerable because we're asleep. But Jesus gave us access to fight. He gave us the means to push forward. He gave us the strength. And sometimes we often call a friend rather than call on God. When what we really need is an encounter with God, that we really need Him to release the supernatural power in our lives, in our marriage, in our ministry, in our friendships, in our relationships. Prayer plus God's word equals power. Here's your takeaway. Prayer plus God's word equals power. Prayer plus God's word equals power. I want to close with this illustration, if the worship team could join me. I'm going to try and actually read this without crying. But in the book, Power of Prayer, T.L. Moody, who was a preacher, went to England for a rest, and he didn't even intend on preaching. He wanted to go hear Charles Spurgeon, George Mueller, and others. But another pastor invited him to preach in his church. Well, Sunday morning did not go well, Moody said. That there was no power. There was no liberty. It seemed like pulling a heavy train up a steep grade. It was so bad that he tried to get out of preaching in the evening service, for which he had also been invited, but the minister wouldn't let him off. Well, that evening was quite different. Moody felt unusual power. And when he got to the end, he decided to give an altar call. And he invited those who wanted to know Christ to come forward or stand up. And 500 people came to Christ. Then Moody thought, well, there must be some mistake. Perhaps they misunderstood him. So he asked them to all sit back down. And after the meeting, he asked them to meet in another room if they really did want to accept Christ, because he was also doubting that this really happened. So Moody went into the room and repeated the invitation on even stronger terms, and the people all at once expressed their willingness to become Christians. Moody still thought there must have been some mistake. He said, I have to go to Ireland tomorrow, but your pastor will be here, and he will follow up with you. Well, then the next week, Moody received a telegram from the minister saying, there's even more people on Monday night than Sunday. A revival has broken out in our church, and you must return from Ireland and help me. So Moody returned. And what happened in those days was the basis for the invitations that took him back to England and then over to the entire world as an evangelist. Because God's power was in it. God's Spirit moved in a way that lives were transformed. So if God removed his Spirit from our church, would anything change? If God removed his Spirit from our ministries, would anything change? What about our homes? What about our lives? This is why we need to fight with the power of prayer. That we can do it in our own means. We can have great leadership. We can have great music. We can have great preaching. We can have amazing ministries. But if we don't have the Spirit of God and his power, we have nothing. But once we encounter God through his means, we're forgiven. We're set free. We can see that his mighty power is working within us, that we are more than conquerors because of what Christ has done. We can have victory because he gave us victory, church. Paul was spiritually awake. He could see the struggles through that spiritual lens. And he asked people to pray on his behalf. Paul accessed the power of God so that he could fight with the power of prayer so he could have deliverance. So this morning, are you awake? I want to end this series with a time of prayer, a time in which you can encounter God. I'm going to ask the worship team to play in the background, but if you need to encounter Jesus this morning in a new and powerful way, just ask him to change you. Let's stand together as we pray. First thing I want you to pray is, I want you to give him praise for what he's done. So just between you and God, praise him. Praise him for what he's done on the cross. Praise him for what he's done in your life. Praise him. To identify what is your struggle, what is your fight that you're going through. Ask God to give you the spiritual eyes in which you can see what he wants to do in that situation. Ask him to teach you. Ask him to change you. Ask him to use you. Prayer on your behalf. Ask God to put someone on your mind. Maybe it's a leader, maybe it's a pastor, maybe it's a friend who needs you to intercede on their behalf. Lift them up in prayer. Ask the Spirit to work on their behalf, to go before them, to protect them, to use them. And finally, who needs to experience the power of God today? Maybe you've been going through these struggles on your own strength, and you're wounded. Access those means that he's already given you. Put on Christ. Put to death the deeds of darkness in your life. And ask God to, by his power, to help you walk in the light. I'm going to ask our prayer teams to come forward. And if today you've met with Jesus, even for the first time, come talk with us so that we can help you walk in the light, so that you can experience God in newer and greater ways. This is how we fight our battles. This is how we encounter God. Let's sing.